Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Tracking some scattered light showers in our sand hills right now. All this rain will shift across the viewing area. I'll show you what time it will arrive where you are.
And how your child's school is graded could change with the new proposal being presented today to state lawmakers. Just ahead, we're breaking down some of the new factors that'll be included.
Plus, a star Duke basketball player injured when fans rushed the court. The athlete versus fan collision that's reigniting the debate over banning fans from storming the court. A lot of people talking about this morning. We'll show you that video again coming up. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, thanks for having us in for news here on your Monday, getting things started here. Beautiful sunrise we had. We had a nice weekend with lots of sunshine. Elizabeth Gardner, they're tracking some showers to the south.
A little bit of light, patchy rain has been down here in the Sandhills since very early this morning. It really hasn't budged much. The models are showing more of this rain moving into the Triangle and up toward the Virginia line. And I think that's going to happen with this next band that's back to the west, starting to move in just west of Sanford and south of Greensboro right now. Let's take a look. Right now, we're just seeing a little bit of light rain from Hope Mills down through the southern part of Cumberland County. That's about all that's in our viewing area. A little bit of light, patchy rain moving into the northern part of Moore County. None of this is going to be very heavy. We've got the new run of the computer models just came in. By about 9 or 10 o'clock, we're looking at this light band of rain from Durham northward. It just sort of hangs out here around the Triangle area and in our northern counties for a few hours, and then gradually starts to pull up toward the Virginia line. If you're from Raleigh southward, you have a better chance of seeing some sunshine this afternoon. If you're, say, Durham northward, it looks like the rain's going to hang around in your area. Right now, Durham is nice and dry with some sunshine. Current temperature, 46 degrees. We have a solid flow coming out of the southwest at 9 miles per hour, and that will help to warm us up pretty dramatically. Right now, we're looking mostly at mid-40s as you're stepping out the door. We'll see low 60s at lunchtime, and we'll climb into the upper 60s this afternoon. It's much warmer than yesterday. Even warmer by Wednesday. I'll show you when we could be near record highs. Eric.
Elizabeth, it continues to be a busy Monday morning out there on the roads. Nowhere busier than right outside of Durham. We've been continuing to follow this crash right here, 885 southbound near that Cornwallis Road interchange. Taking a live look out there right now. You can see first responders there on that scene. Traffic down to just one lane. We know there are at least three cars involved here in this crash, working to learn if there are any injuries. Of course, the other crash in this area that we were following, this one over on Highway 70 near the Miami Boulevard interchange. You can see the sensors indicate that crash may have cleared up, but we are still seeing backups on 70 itself. And with those backups on 885, your best bet if you're headed from Durham to Raleigh is going to be to take 55 down to 40. Otherwise, those drive times coming into Durham, things looking a lot better there. Only a 5-minute delay if you're coming in from Wade Avenue. Otherwise, good across the map. A similar story if we're talking about Raleigh today. Nothing major there. Only seeing a couple of minutes across the board. Except if you're coming in from Wake Forest, about 7 minutes there. Otherwise, not too bad.
Thanks, Eric. A man is due in court today accused of taking pictures of a teen girl in the dressing room of a Garner clothing store. 50-year-old Kelly Jones of Apex is charged with secret peeping after being accused of taking the pictures at Little Details Women's Boutique. Authorities accuse him of taking those pictures of a 16-year-old girl while she was changing. The girl says she caught Jones taking her picture and told her mom, who confronted Jones as he came out of the fitting room. According to Jones' LinkedIn page, he's a former Army officer who served in the Maryland Army National Guard. He's due in a Wake County courtroom 1:30 this afternoon.
Well, if you're looking to move to a new area, you'll likely be comparing school grades. And right now, the grades only tell you about the test scores, but the state superintendent wants to take more factors into account. WRAL's Laura Levine is live at the legislative building. And Laura, this could give families a better idea of where they want to send their children.
Absolutely. Good morning, Michelle. State Superintendent Catherine Truitt, she's going to be meeting here with lawmakers this afternoon to share this redesign plan that she's been working on with an advisory group for about 2 years now. So let's say that you are a parent who's moving to a different neighborhood and you want to know more about the school your kids would attend. Well, right now, the state's
performance grading process doesn't share those graduation rates, attendance records, how satisfied the teachers are, or what classes they offer. A WREL Education Insider Emily Walkenhurst tells us currently 80% of the school performance grade is based off of standardized test scores, and then 20% is based on growth. Truitt says that doesn't really paint the full picture.
People on the outside who don't work in the schools, parents, people who are looking to have kids or looking at, you know, where they like to live, can look at, you know, performance grades and get some sense of how well a school is doing.
Lawmakers are not expected to take action on this today when they meet here at 12:30. However, they are planning to use this as a way to decide whether or not they should move forward with a redesign plan at all. Laura Levine, WREL News, live in Raleigh.
Raleigh police are also looking for the person responsible for a deadly shooting on Rock Quarry Road. Police say 28-year-old Stephen Jones walked into the Dollar General on Rock Quarry Road just after 1 Saturday afternoon with a gunshot wound. He was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. Sunday, police said that Jones later died. Now, police say Jones was shot near the Dollar General, but have not said exactly where that shooting happened. And that shooting on Rock Quarry Road was one of 3 shootings in Raleigh Saturday. 2 of the 3 were deadly. The first happened just before 5 a.m. on Quail Hollow Drive. 23-year-old Jose Marquez Diaz was killed there. The second happened about 2 hours later on North Raleigh Boulevard. A woman was seriously hurt but is expected to recover. No arrests have been made in any of these shootings at the time, and investigators do have a person of interest in the North Raleigh Boulevard shooting.
We're expecting to get an update from Duke basketball coach John Shire today about the injury his star player Kyle Filipowski suffered over the weekend. Filipowski was hurt as Wake Forest fans stormed the court after their upset win over the Blue Devils on Saturday. And the injury is reigniting the debate over whether fans should be allowed to rush the court. Duke's next game is at home at Cameron Indoor against the Louisville Cardinals. That's on Wednesday night.
Happening today, a hearing in a murder case that could affect more than 100 death row inmates in North Carolina gets started. It could also affect the 2024 race for governor. A judge will hear arguments in a 2009 murder case where a teenager was shot during a robbery. The defendant hopes to get off death row, arguing his trial was tainted by racism. The outcome could revive dozens of cases that started before the Racial Justice Act was repealed in 2013. Parts of the law were reinstated in 2020. For more on this case and its possible political impact, you can go to the NC Capital section of WRAL.com.
A man is dead and another charged with murder after a shooting in Sanford. It all happened on Primrose Lane around 9:30 Saturday night. Police say they found 20-year-old Tyrese Wicker on the front steps. He had been shot multiple times and died at the scene. Police arrested 19-year-old Jackson Chesney. He faces a murder charge and is in the Lee County Jail without bond.
A train station in Ukraine is destroyed now after Russia bombed that railway station. The bomb damaged surrounding apartments in the eastern part of Ukraine. Police in the region said 4 missiles hit that town after the first bomb Sunday. Russian President Vladimir Putin said previously the troops would push further into Ukraine.
And back here in the States, a partial government shutdown is looming once again as lawmakers push for more aid in Ukraine. This is a live look at the U.S. Capitol building where Congress is facing a March 1st deadline to pass a funding deal. Federal departments and agencies that will likely be impacted are already updating their shutdown plans in the event a deal is not reached. One of the major issues under debate is $118 billion in Ukraine aid, something many Democrats and Republicans are pushing for. This will be the 4th time since September that lawmakers have been up against a funding deadline. Lawmakers keep passing short-term stopgap deals. And listen up to this important date you'll want to know about. If you have a legal question, you can get it answered for free this week. Five on Your Side is partnering with the North Carolina Bar Foundation for Lawyers on Call. Call in on Friday to talk to a licensed lawyer absolutely free. This public service is completely anonymous, designed to connect you with legal information.
H&R Block is facing heat for its advertisements. Coming up, why the FTC says the tax giant has been tricking customers into buying its products for years.
Plus, the future of artificial intelligence could soon include doing tasks without using your hands. Coming up, how a new AI tool and a smartphone matchup allows cars to be controlled by your eyes.
And a little bit of light patchy rain in the Sandhills. There's more of it back to our west. It's likely to start creeping into the Triangle area within the next hour or two. I'll show you the timeline on Futurecast. Welcome back on your Monday morning. Time now 8:13 as we look live over Wrightsville this morning on the coast there. Looks pretty nice. We are seeing a couple showers in our area, but on the coast, it looks pretty nice. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner standing by with a look at where the rain is falling and what we can expect through the rest of the day.
There's not much out there, and that's what we'll expect for the bulk of the day. We have some more steady rain that's to the south of Greensboro, and that's getting ready to push into some of our central counties. This morning, for the most part, it's been in our southern counties. There's a little bit of light rain in Moore County and in Cumberland County right now. That's all the rain that we're seeing currently. It's very light, too, at that point. Carthage, again, just north of Carthage, there and south of Fayetteville, getting ready to move back into Sampson County. We take a look at the big picture, and you can see there is more rain that's back to the west, from west of Raleigh back toward the mountains. So all of this is going to start to push into the triangle and then gradually lift northward up toward the Virginia line. So we'll take a look at that. Not much happening right now, but we get into, say, 9 or 10 o'clock, and we start to see that band kind of filling in a little bit around Durham. And then it sort of stalls here. It tries to move on up closer to the Virginia line. But in the early part of the afternoon, we should see some clearing from the Triangle area southward. Our northern counties will probably be seeing that light rain and some cloud cover where you're actually seeing some sunshine right now. And then on Tuesday, we have more rain in the forecast. It'll just be some waves of showers that roll in right around or just after lunchtime. You can see that big band of rain that comes in, lasts until about 4 or 5 o'clock, but then we'll probably see more scattered light rain on through the evening. And then Tuesday night is dry, Wednesday is dry, and then Wednesday night, we have a good chance for rain. It's clear in Durham right now with a temperature of 46, so it's been a bit of a cool start this morning. We will see a southerly wind today that's going to warm us up considerably compared to what we saw yesterday. Right now, again, mostly mid-40s. We'll see a high of 68 in Raleigh, 65 in Durham, and 71 in Fayetteville. That's still not close to records, but when we hit that 77, we're within about 5 degrees of record highs. It doesn't last long. Our cold front comes through Wednesday night and brings us cooler temperatures Thursday and Friday back into the 50s. 77, our high for Wednesday. The previous record was 81, 78 in Fayetteville, and the previous record to 83. So we're close to those records, but not quite there. Wednesday is going to be a dry but windy day with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. And then Wednesday night, we'll see some heavy rain that rolls in, possibly a few thunderstorms. And that's what's going to bring us the cooler air Thursday and Friday behind that front. Looking at a small chance of showers late Friday into early Saturday. Other than that, the weekend looks dry and mild with 60s, Eric.
Elizabeth, continuing to follow the biggest headache for drivers we're seeing across the region, that is right up here, 885 southbound, just outside of Durham. Taking a closer look, you can see this is just north of that East Cornwallis Road interchange, leading to backup stretching there for miles. A live look outside right now at that crash. You can see progress is starting to be made here. We do have wrecker crews on the scene starting to haul away some of the cars involved in that crash. We know at least three vehicles there. You can see traffic actually having to be diverted. Look at that. Over onto the exit ramp and then brought back down. Again, this is causing miles of backups, miles of delays. So if you are headed in this way, NC 55 to Highway 40 likely going to be your best bet to avoid this mess right here. Another crash that we were keeping our eyes on earlier, that was right over here, just parallel to those backups on Highway 70. That crash seems to have been cleared, but we are still seeing some pretty significant traffic there, something you'll want to keep an eye on as you're making your way in this morning.
Thanks, Eric. A train station in Ukraine was destroyed after Russia bombed it. The bomb damaged surrounding apartments as well. This was in the eastern part of Ukraine. Police in the region said four missiles hit the town after the first bomb on Sunday. Russian President Vladimir Putin has previously said his troops would be pushing farther into Ukraine.
And we now know the names of two Americans believed to have been killed after police say their yacht was hijacked off the island of Grenada. A sailing club identified the couple as Kathy Brandel and Ralph Hendry from Virginia. They were spending the winter cruising the Eastern Caribbean. Police in Grenada say they have three men in custody who escaped from prison February 18th. Police believe they may have killed the couple. A GoFundMe campaign to support their families has raised more than $48,000.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, Israeli military reporting that its air force has struck targets inside Lebanon. Residents in the northeastern part of that country reporting several explosions. A Hezbollah official say as at least two people were killed. This is the deepest Israel has pushed into Lebanon since the Israel-Hamas war began 4 months ago. Now, this attack happened shortly after Hezbollah says its air defense shut down an Israeli drone. This is, of course, a developing story that we'll continue to monitor here in the WREL Live Center.
All right, thank you, Ken. And new this morning, the co-chair of a newly formed group to fight anti-Semitism at Harvard University has abruptly resigned. Harvard's interim president made the announcement, saying the position was filled because the co-chair, Rafaela Sandun, decided to refocus her efforts. The task force was formed last month. It's unclear if other factors played a role into the decision to step down. Harvard remains under scrutiny, and some Jewish alumni are auditing the university in order to find sources of anti-Semitism.
The Federal Trade Commission is accusing H&R Block of using tricky marketing tactics against its customers. In a formal complaint filed against the tax company, the FTC said H&R Block has falsely advertised its products as free for years, despite forcing customers to pay for more expensive products. It also claims the company deleted old data when customers downgraded the service. The FTC says it filed a formal complaint because it believes a law of public interest was violated.
If you lost your cellular service during AT&T's outage last week, you'll get a little back on your next bill. Tens of thousands of customers last Thursday dealt with error messages or no service connection. AT&T says it will issue a $5 credit to potentially impacted wireless customers, which it says is the average cost of a full day of service. The mobile network says it wanted to recognize the frustration the outage caused people. The FCC says it's investigating what happened.
A simple look and eye movement could be the next step for artificial intelligence use, even on your mobile devices. Chinese technology company Honor demonstrated in an experiment how AI can interact with human eye tracking technology. The company globally launched its own Magic 6 Pro smartphone that has the feature that allows you to remotely move and open cars just by looking at a phone screen. A smartphone and tech pairing were used to start, drive, reverse, and stop a car. An engineer says the tool also allows for lots of situations when you can't use your hands.
The real use for this technology is really to enable another way for users to interact with the phone. So if you didn't want to touch the screen or for any reason, let's say you've got dirty hands or whatever, then by looking at the screen, you can then interact with the phone in a new way.
Yeah, the tool is already available in China.
Thursday will be February 29th, a date we only see every 4 years. But why? Ted Linder explains the importance of leap years and what life on Earth would be like if we didn't have them.
It's still the shortest month, but this year, February is an extra day longer, all thanks to 2024 being a leap year. And while it may not seem like a big deal, there's a whole lot of science and math behind why we alter our calendars.
The reason we have leap years is because the length of the year and the length of the day are not really related to each other.
A year is measured by the amount of time it takes the Earth to make one full trip around the sun. According to NASA, that takes about 365 days, 6 hours, and 9 minutes.
In order to keep the calendar synced up with things like the seasons, particularly when the beginning of spring is and the beginning of fall, the equinoxes, we have to make a correction to the calendar.
And if we didn't have leap years, life as we know it would look a lot different.
What would happen is eventually the calendar would get out of sync with the seasons. So we would like to have the start of spring be in March. And if we didn't have the leap years, eventually the spring would start to drift and we'd start having the first day of spring be in January or October. The basic idea is that usually every 4 years, you add an extra day to the calendar.
But in the distant future,
the length of the day is actually growing longer due to tidal effects from the moon. So eventually, we won't need leap years anymore. When the number of days and years is exactly 365. That's going to happen in about something like 2 to 3 million years from now.
That was Ted Linder reporting. And what about people who were born on February 29th? On non-leap years, they may celebrate their birthday on either February 28th or March 1st. But their legal birthday is on non-leap years, though, is March 1st, because they were born on the day after February 28th.
Could deadly wildfires like the recent ones in Maui and California happen here in North Carolina? New research suggests climate change is fueling the flames and increasing risk across our region.
We experience droughts all the time, but you pair it with high temperatures, and that allows fuels to dry out really quickly. And so you quickly end up with a situation of conditions just perfect for a large, fast-moving fire.
Tonight at 6, WRL climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin takes an in-depth look at how fire threats are changing in North Carolina and how to find out if your home is at risk.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We've seen a couple showers move through the area. Meteorologist Elizabeth Garner tracking that and what we're going to see for the rest of the day.
A little bit of light patchy rain showing up in some of our counties, but it started to really taper off just in the last 15 or 20 minutes. There is more rain back to the west. It's still light and patchy, but it is likely to move on into the Triangle area in the next couple of hours. Right now, we're seeing just a light shower south of Fayetteville and just the northern part of Moore County right now. We take a look at our view in Chapel Hill. A good bit of cloud cover, but there's some sunshine peeking through as well. Exercise forecast. It's cool this morning. We've been in the 40s, but we climb into the upper 60s this afternoon. It'll be drier in the south and a little wetter in the north this afternoon. Aaron?
Taking a look at traffic this morning. A busy Monday morning out there. The biggest issue we've been following, that is going to be on 885 southbound outside of Durham near that Cornwallis Road interchange. You see that on the map. You see the miles of backups that that crash has caused. Taking a live look out there right now, you can see there is some good news, though, this morning. Wrecker crews last couple of minutes, wrecker crews have completely cleared all of the leftover damage from that crash. You can see NCDOT pulling out there. So those lanes are going to be clear, going to be back open this morning.
Thank you, Eric. And today we're expected to get an update on how the state superintendent plans to change how school performance is measured. Right now, the state's rankings only tell you how their test scores measure up. State lawmakers are not expected to take action, but they could decide on next steps on a redesign of the performance model. Next on Fox 50, why more young adults are requiring prescriptions for antidepressants. And up next on Today, Oscar winner Kate Winslet live in studio.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Looking at a little bit of light patchy rain in the Sand Hills, but there's more back to the west that's likely to move into the Triangle area and northward later today. I'll show you the timeline.
And the way the state grades the quality of your child's school may be changing. The new proposal and how it could change the way you look at the school your children attend.
And the clock is ticking to avoid a government shutdown before Friday. What's on top of lawmakers' lists in order to approve the signing bill and the spending bill that every couple of months has been re-upped short term?
Yeah.
See if anything changes out of that. We'll be on top of it. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Welcome in on your Monday morning. We've seen a little bit of rain pass through, most of it to the south right now. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has that. And what we can expect later on this week is going to get warm.
It is. Wait, so this afternoon, we'll climb into the mid to upper 60s. We'll see the same thing tomorrow and then 70s by Wednesday. A little light patchy rain at least has been showing up on the radar from Fayetteville to Sanford back through Moore County. Looking at cameras, I'm not seeing a whole lot of that reaching the ground. There is a bit more that's back to the west that we're following that may move itself into the Triangle area here in the next couple of hours. But a little bit of light patchy rain just really tapering off for parts of Moore County and Cumberland County right now. We take a look at Futurecast and it shows is pretty quiet conditions now, but by around 10 o'clock, we could see a small band of showers that decides to take up residence from Durham northward and stay there for part of the afternoon. Into the afternoon, we'll see skies clearing down to the south. We've had clear skies in the north this morning, and that changes. We're just going to flip-flop that through the afternoon. We may continue to see some scattered showers from Durham on up towards South Hill through around 5 or 6 o'clock this afternoon. Right now, we're seeing some sunshine in Apex, looking pretty here, 46 degrees. We have a southerly wind that will help to really bump up our temperatures this afternoon. Right now, most of us are in the mid-40s. We'll see temperatures around 61 at lunchtime and upper 60s for this afternoon. I'll show you how close we may be to record highs later in the week. Coming up, Eric.
Elizabeth, continues to be a little bit of a slow and sticky morning out there on the roads, but one bit of good news, that crash we've been tracking for the last hour over here on 885 southbound in Durham, that has started to clear up here. You can see traffic starting to move there on East Cornwallis, those backups starting to clear, but again, a lot of cars that are going to need to get moving again, so you'll want to keep that in mind if you're on the roads this morning. Take a look at those drive times. Overall for the city of Durham, not too bad if you're coming in. 3-minute delay in C50, 4-minute delay from Wade Avenue, but nothing terrible here this morning. Similar situation as we take a look over in Raleigh. Those drive times looking like just a couple of minutes of delay unless you're coming in from Wake Forest. That's up to about 7 minutes right now. Otherwise, looking pretty good.
All right, thanks, Eric. Today, the man accused of taking pictures of a teen girl in the dressing room of a Garner clothing store is expected in court. 50-year-old Kelly Sean Jones of Apex is charged with secret peeping after being accused of taking pictures at Little Details Women's Boutique. Authorities accuse him of taking pictures of a 16-year-old girl while she was changing. The girl says that she caught Jones taking her picture and told her mom, who confronted Jones as he came out of the dressing room. According to Jones's LinkedIn page, he's a former Army officer who served in the Maryland Army National Guard. He is due in a Wake County courtroom at 1:30 this afternoon.
Parents likely know each North Carolina school gets a letter grade that is intended to reflect how well the school is doing. Today, state leaders are proposing new ways to grade schools with more factors considered. WRL's Laura Levine explains. Right now, state rankings only account for test scores.
State Superintendent Catherine Truitt will meet here with lawmakers to share this proposal and redesign plan that she's been working on for about 2 years with an advisory group. So let's say you are a parent moving into a different neighborhood and you want to know more about the school your kids would attend. Right now, the state's performance grading process doesn't share graduation rates, attendance records, how satisfied the teachers are, or what classes they offer. Truitt is looking at a process to discover how the current school performance formula could be changed to include a more comprehensive list of indicators that can help paint a more complete picture of school quality. WRL's education insider Emily Walkenhurst tells us currently 80% of the school performance grade is based off of standardized test scores, and then 20% is based on growth.
Schools do a lot more, you know, related to discipline, attendance, offering AP courses, career preparation. There's a lot of other things that schools are measured on already at the state or federal level, and she just wants to include some more of those things in that grade redesign.
Now, lawmakers are not expected to take action today. However, they are expected to use this information to decide how to move forward. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
Another blow for Nikki Haley's challenge of former President Donald Trump for the Republican presidential nomination. After her loss in South Carolina on Saturday, the political network financed largely by billionaire Charles Koch says that it will no longer spend funds to support Haley's campaign. The conservative advocacy group Americans for Prosperity Action says it still supports Haley's effort, but it does not believe any outside group can help expand her path to victory. Now that Trump is closing in on the nomination, the group says it will focus its efforts on congressional races instead.
A partial government shutdown is looming once again. This is a live look right here at the U.S. Capitol building, where Congress is facing a March 1st deadline Friday to pass a funding deal. Federal departments and agencies that will be impacted are already updating their shutdown plans in the event a deal is not reached. One of the major issues under debate is $118 billion in aid for Ukraine, something many Democrats and Republicans are pushing for.
Not only the future of Ukraine is on the line, which is extremely important, But the larger battle against authoritarianism is on the line.
Ukraine will not fail under our watch. There's too much at stake here. This is not just about Ukraine. This is about freedom versus dictatorships. This is about truth versus propaganda.
This will be the fourth time since September lawmakers have been up against a funding deadline, and lawmakers do keep passing those short-term stopgap deals.
And Jeff, no doubt lawmakers will be closely watched by investors based on what's happening there on Capitol Hill and happening now in the WRA Live Center. It's shaping up to be another tough day in Wall Street, opening in the red to kick off another trading week. Looking at the big board this morning, it's all in green right now. Dow futures, S&P futures, NASDAQ futures in green. But all morning long, up until about 5 minutes ago, stock futures were in the red. Now, later this week, the PCE, or Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, will be released. That will happen Thursday. This is the Federal Reserve's favorite measure of inflation. It will be closely watched following hotter reads recently in terms of consumer and producer prices. Of course, we'll have the opening numbers on Wall Street coming up in our 9 o'clock hour right here on Fox 50.
All right. Thanks, Ken. This week, the Wake County Public School System will start its new clear bag policy. Beginning on Friday, spectators at all school-sponsored events can only bring one clear bag, no larger than 12 by 15 by 3 inches. And the purpose of the bag rule is to deter people from bringing knives or other weapons to extracurricular events. Some schools have already been implementing this, including Millbrook High School. That's where back in February of last year, a juvenile brought a loaded AR-15 to a basketball game.
A major road in Raleigh will have a lane closed beginning in just about 20 minutes. Raleigh Water will close the right lane of Glenwood Avenue between Alexander Road and White Oak Road. 9 o'clock this morning for a sewer main repair. The closure is expected to last through 4 o'clock this afternoon, though work schedules are subject to change based on weather and some other factors. Drivers should expect traffic delays in the area. You should avoid that area if possible. Water customers should not experience any interruption of service.
Some drivers will want to expect a bit of a longer commute at a busy road in Carrboro. Jones Ferry Road between Old Greensboro and Old Fayetteville Road will close at 9 a.m. It'll be closed until Friday for shoulder repair work. Be sure to plan ahead and slow down and stay alert near the work zone.
Four more private universities have agreed to settle lawsuits over how they determine financial aid amounts for students. Dartmouth, Rice, Vanderbilt, and Northwestern have agreed to pay a total of $166 million to settle a class action lawsuit. The suit accuses the schools of colluding on the amount of financial aid awarded to students and favoring applicants from wealthier families. Duke was one of five schools that agreed to pay a combined $104 million to settle their part of the case last month.
Today, we'll learn more about new funding for conservation projects in our state. The United States Deputy Secretary Laura Daniel Davis will be in Raleigh to make that announcement. It's part of the White House's America the Beautiful Challenge. The project funds landscape-scale conservation and restoration projects across the country. That announcement will happen at noon.
A couple of huge lottery jackpots up for grabs in the coming days. Tonight's Powerball jackpot has grown to $391 million. No one matched Saturday's winning numbers. Meantime, the Mega Millions grand prize in tomorrow night's drawing now stands at $563 million. You can watch both drawings on WRAL right before our 11 o'clock news.
Today, a mobile blank Black History Museum will make its way to Garner Magnet High School. There will be more than 1,000 African-American historical artifacts and memorabilia. Students will learn about the era of slavery up to the present day. Two retired military veterans will also be there to share. It all gets started in 20 minutes at 9 o'clock. And credit card debt is hitting a new high. Why some economists say it's not as alarming as you think.
And we're calling all Barbie girls in the real world. The hot pink doll accessory that is coming to life this summer thanks to Generation Z.
And as we head to break, we'll take you live out to Zebulon on our WREL live camera network. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tells us what areas could see some more rain later today.
Hey 8:44, the time right now on our Monday morning. An interesting look at Fayetteville right there. A little bit of sunshine, a little bit of clouds, a little bit of everything up and down this week. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center right now. And we see a little bit of rain in the area, but the temperature is up and down this week. That's the interesting part.
Hey, really? So we have a southwesterly wind today that's going to really warm things up. We were in the 50s yesterday. We're talking about mid to upper 60s this afternoon. A little bit of light scattered rain out there. We have been watching that on the radar all morning. Very little of it is reaching the ground. We have a dry air mass in place. There's a bit more that's back to the west, and at some point the models show that surging in around the triangle and then gradually pushing northward. Right now, the radar shows the rain really tapering off across our viewing area, so we'll watch for that next wave. We'll widen out the view, and you can see where it is. This is a look at radar and satellite, kind of taking a look back to the west, where you can see just a bit more light rain that's likely to push on in. And Futurecast shows that too. By the time we get to 10 or 11 o'clock, some of those showers around the triangle area northward, and then that gradually kind of pushes up close to the Virginia line. We get into the afternoon, and from Raleigh southward, we should be back into some sunshine. This morning, it's been nice and bright in our northern counties, and we're going to flip-flop that. So sunshine in the south and a chance of showers in the north for the afternoon. And then gradually, that just lifts northward and away from us. We'll be dry tonight, and then tomorrow morning is dry up until around 10 or 11 o'clock. So the morning commute's dry. By lunchtime, though, we're going to see a wave of rain moving through that'll be with us through the afternoon, and maybe a break during the evening and a few more rounds then at, you know, between, say, dinner time and midnight or so. We take a live look at Apex, where we're looking at blue skies for the most part, 46 degrees currently. Our dew point's 33, and so that's a pretty low number, so we do have a fairly dry air mass in place right now. Current temperatures are in the mid to upper 40s, so it's a cool start out there, but we're looking at sunshine in some places that's helping to warm things up. It's really going to be that southerly wind that helps to bring that warmth in. So 68 in Raleigh this afternoon, 65 in Durham, and 71 in Fayetteville, where we'll end up with the most sunshine for this afternoon. 58 is our normal high, so we'll be about 10 degrees above that today and tomorrow, and then 77 Wednesday. A front comes through Wednesday night and delivers cooler air, so we're back into the 50s on Thursday and Friday. Taking a look at our spring warmth, 77 for Wednesday at RDU is not too far from the record of 81, and in Fayetteville on Wednesday, 78 and the record 83. So we're not going to hit the records, but we're not too far from them. Wednesday's going to be a windy day as we see a cold front approaching us. We'll see gusts up to 35 miles per hour, which is pretty strong. It's not enough for a wind advisory. That would be over 40 mile per hour winds, but it'll be a blustery day Wednesday. Wednesday night, we'll see rain and then drier Thursday and Friday. A chance of rain Friday night into Saturday, and weekend temperatures are back in the 60s.
Florida says parents of unvaccinated students have the option of whether to send their children to school despite a measles outbreak. The state's Surgeon General says Florida will not mandate the CDC guideline that unvaccinated students must stay home for 3 weeks after a measles outbreak. There are at least 8 cases of measles in Broward County, including 6 at one elementary school. According to the CDC, 9% of kindergartners in Florida have not been vaccinated.
Passengers on a Norwegian cruise ship are being quarantined off the coast of East Africa because of an outbreak of illness on board. Norwegian says a small number of guests on its Norwegian Dawn ship had mild symptoms of the illness that some suspect may be cholera. They are now stuck at a port of the island nation Mauritius until at least tomorrow before they can end their 12-day cruise. Norwegian says it is assisting guests with changes to their travel arrangements.
Spring is right around the corner, and if you are prone to allergies, you might want to start preparing. As we head into spring and trees and flowers start to bloom, allergy season will reemerge because of pollens beginning to float in the air. Symptoms include itchy eyes, nose and throat, sneezing, coughing, congestion, and postnasal drip. So here are some simple ways to cope. Keep windows closed despite those beautiful warm temperatures we'll see. Change clothes and shower at night to ward off allergens you bring in during the day. Also, keep pets off your bed. Doctors also recommend taking nasal steroids and oral and nasal antihistamines to combat itching, sneezing, and a runny nose.
A new study is showing more young people are requiring prescriptions for depression and anxiety. According to a new study, the amount of prescriptions for antidepressants written for people ages 12 to 25 rose nearly 64%. The rate was already growing, but the pandemic caused the number to skyrocket. The rate rose more than 130% for young women. Experts say while the rise in numbers is alarming, antidepressants can be life-saving. They say to look at your child for signs of behavior and mood changes, like with their sleep, social life, attitude, school performance, ability to concentrate, or interest in activities, and always consult your doctor.
Credit card debt in the U.S. is surging, but economists say it's not as alarming as you may think. The Federal Reserve says credit card debt hit a new high of $1.1 trillion from October through December. But some economists say workers are still commanding big wage gains. The stock market is on solid footing, and attitudes toward the economy have improved recently. They also say after adjusting for inflation, the current level is nearly 20% below a peak that it reached in late 2008.
A Black History Month celebration in Raleigh showed off the diversity in robotics. Cyber Bears is a robotics team that was created by the TMT Youth Community Foundation with the primary goal of exposing and training youth of color in vulnerable communities to STEAM careers.
The goal is to be able to take this across the state so that we can take black and brown children, robots, and teach them about the Silicon Valley, where they are, and be able to have the skills that will be able to employ them here in this area.
They invited kids aged 6 to 14 to come out for a Sunday robot building workshop, along with learning how to build a robotic arm in just 45 minutes. Kids also got to meet the team and see the debut of their competition robot, Goldilocks.
In entertainment news, Wendy Williams is speaking out for the first time to address her devastating diagnosis, and three directors returned to their hometowns for HBO's latest documentary. Here's David Daniel with more in the Hollywood Minute.
I do not have a prepared speech because I know from the top of my heart who I want to thank from the bottom of my heart.
Wendy Williams is thanking her fans for their reactions to the news she has primary progressive aphasia and frontotemporal dementia. In a statement published by People magazine, Williams expressed immense gratitude for the love and kind words I have received, adding that she hopes others with her condition might benefit from her story. Aphasia affects one's ability to communicate. Frontotemporal dementia is an umbrella term for a group of brain disorders.
What is it about hometowns and the American consciousness? Stories of people coming to grips with hidden truths about the town they grew up in? Well, this is one of those stories.
God Save Texas is a documentary trilogy from three filmmakers who revisited their hometowns. Richard Linkletter went back to Huntsville, where a quarter of the town's population is incarcerated for hometown prison. Alex Stapleton returned to Houston for The Price of Oil, looking at how that industry affects residents. And Ileana Sosa explores the hybrid Mexican-American nature of El Paso in La Frontera. God Save Texas debuts Tuesday on HBO and Max. In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
And Bob Marley is king of the box office for another week. The biopic about the legendary singer-songwriter is the top-grossing movie for a second straight week. It brought in $13.5 million at theaters this weekend, bringing its two-week total now to about $71 million. The latest installment in the Demon Slayer anime series made $11.6 million in its opening weekend to take second place. Ordinary Angels debuted in third place, making $6.5 million.
Calling all Barbie girls, a new phone is on the way. Human Mobile Devices, HMD, the company behind Nokia smartphones, is partnering with Mattel to bring Barbie's hot pink flip phone to life. HMD says flip phones are back on the rise as Gen Z and millennials chose to limit their screen time on smartphones. And the company reported that flip phone sales started in Europe more than doubled from 2022 to 2023, and they expect further growth this year. The phone is set to debut this summer. That thing's going to sell out.
Buffalo Wild Wings is staying true to its promise of giving away free wings after this year's Super Bowl win into overtime. Today, wing lovers can redeem six free boneless or traditional wings from 2 to 5 p.m. Dine in or take them out. The wing chain first announced the promotion back in 2019, but this year's Super Bowl was the first overtime game since the Patriots and Falcons got together in 2017.
And before we go to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic coming up next.